Hey, it's Arrow, unplugged and totally uncut with Gene Stone.
This has got to be some pretty exciting times for you because we have now hit that moment where that divided line is shining, and here comes your book.
Yeah, here comes my book. Exactly.
What is the one complaint that you're hearing about here, and what is creating the fear that we would need a survival guide?
Well, I think the major issue is that we really don't have any idea what Trump stands for and who he will be as a president. There have been, however, a lot of indications from his cabinet appointees that he seems to be leaning to the far, far right, and I think that terrifies a lot of people.
It's almost like a modern-day Y2K going on here.
Yeah, I think that for a lot of people, there's a fear that we're facing a loss of a sensible democratic country in the face of a group of people who seem to feel that less government is important and perhaps no government is more important.
When you speak of government and everything like that, one of the things that I love about your book is that it's not a he said, she said, but you actually invite people to participate with local politics. I mean, it's almost like an educational tool.
Well, that's really where I feel most strongly. For me, when I heard about the election, so I went to bed that night feeling depressed, woke up the next morning and it was true, and then I was depressed and, I don't know, took about a week. And then I realized, well, depression doesn't really lead to anything, and I'm a writer, so I need to write a book. I needed to do something, and so that's what I did. The point of the book is for readers to do the same thing, to read about these issues, to think about these issues, and then most importantly, to do something. Being depressed or unhappy or complaining and whining, I mean, we all do it, but it doesn't get anything done. You need to do something.
So basically, you're opening our eyes and not closing our hearts.
Well, that's actually really, that's a great way of putting it. I wish I'd put that in the book.
Go for it, man. Bring them all back. Bring them all back and re-put it out there then.
All right. I really enjoyed how you prefaced each chapter with a quote or even a tweet from Donald Trump. I think that's a really great way of, you know, getting the participation from, I guess, millennials and younger people like myself. I'm only 21. But what sort of participation from, like, the younger crowds and the opposing crowds of Trump do you kind of anticipate seeing, especially since we're heading towards the inauguration on Friday?
I'm sorry, what am I expecting from the
as far as like
people?
Yeah, as far as the participation that you're trying to, I guess, not necessarily rile up, but the participation
right.
that you're trying to encourage in your book, what do you kind of expect to see in the next, like, few weeks or so?
Well, I think that there's going to be all kinds of voices and such heard. Some of them probably going to be shrill, and some of them are going to be angry. I think some will be sensible. I expect to be seeing an entire range of reactions. But what I'm saying in the book is basically, let's just wait and see how it goes. I'm a little nervous about protesting too much before he's done anything, but I really want people to start protesting and working the moment actual agendas are proposed. And I will add that I wrote the book before most of the cabinet picks were selected, and that has been extremely discouraging in that they seem to be a bunch of multi-billionaires who have little respect for the traditions of democracy in our country.
It's almost like, can we just get through the first 100 days and see what happens?
Well, yeah, we need to. I mean, we, as I say, the picks so far aren't encouraging, but we don't really know. And there's been discord between Trump saying, for instance, that everybody in America should be covered with insurance, and Paul Ryan and his ilk saying, let's get rid of Obamacare and try to privatize and keep people from having insurance. So as long as this is going on, we don't really know what's going to happen. If the Republican Party starts fighting with itself, that itself may blow up into an entire new political situation that we can't predict.
But now, is it wiser to help educate the family and friends? Because, I mean, what's happening, and you have to be seeing it too, a lot of circles are going silent. And we're going back to those days where we didn't talk about politics, nor did we talk about religion. And I feel like that we're going backwards here.
Well, I'm hoping that the silver lining in all of this is that so many people in the center or the left who haven't really been talking or doing anything for these last 8 years are now becoming activated again and realizing you can't take democracy for granted. If you want your voice to be heard, you have to do something. Waiting every 4 years to vote for a president isn't good enough. The book suggests that you become involved, and you become involved now.
It says it right here in your book. You said you're taking readers from anger and despair to activism, and basically what you're doing is you're promoting togetherness.
You know, one of the things I worry about sometimes in this country is that the left and the right have drifted so far apart that there's no civil discourse left, and while that may make for really good TV on cable news and such, it doesn't make for a good democracy. I believe, and believe me, not everybody thinks this is the right thing, I understand, but I do believe that both sides of the political spectrum have to keep their lines of communication open and work with each other to make governance as best it can be, and we are not seeing that now.
Now, you say that you think both lines or both sides should open up their lines of communication. And I really like what you say in the book or how you set it up with the what you can do portion, where it isn't so much opposing the other side, but it's kind of strengthening your side and strengthening your argument and your ties to your political views. So how do you think that ties into opening up a conversation with the other side?
Well, I appreciate that because I think you're quite right. Strengthening our side is extremely important. But I at no point say you should drown out the other side and not listen and not care. You have to care. You can't have a functioning democracy if only one side is in power. And frankly, what the Republicans did to Obama, I thought, was fairly disgraceful. They immediately tried to shut down everything he did, not necessarily because of policy, but because they just simply wanted to be saying no to everything he did. So what I encourage people to do in the book is to pick an issue that matters to them and advocate for it, not necessarily to shut down anyone else, but to promote what they care about.
In essence, are you saying it's time that we all reach beyond belief? We know what you believe in, but just reach beyond it.
Exactly. I felt like as a writer, as I said, the only thing I really know how to do is write, but everybody can do something. You guys are terrific on the radio. Maybe somebody is a great baker. She can have a bake sale and raise money. Maybe somebody can go just sign a petition. I don't care what it is you decide you can do, but there must be something inside of you that you can take outside and affect change and make yourself feel good about the fact that you're participating instead of just watching.
How many people, honestly, do you think are going to pick this book up because they're going to be angry or they're going to be alone, and all of a sudden they're going to realize how serious you are as that writer, that this was not a joke and that you're really trying to help people out here?
Well, I hope everybody. I'm a writer. I want everyone to read my book, but it's more than just simply about what happens to me as a writer. I really feel so strongly that it's time that everybody in this country understands that a democracy only works functioning well when everyone participates at a civil level, and we haven't seen that in some time, and I worry about the country, and I worry about what's going to happen in the next year.
I got to be honest with you about one thing. I swear to God, we're talking more face-to-face nowadays than we were before this election. This is forcing us away from social media, and we're sitting down going, blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah?
It's the best thing that can happen to this country is if people stop going on social media where they can hide behind the anonymity of a silly handle and just yell at people and actually sit down with somebody who may or may not agree with them and try to work things out and come to some kind of compromise. If we all acted like Congress, there wouldn't be any more guns. There would be no more country.
You know, reading your book, The Trump Survival Guide, brings me back earlier. You had done a Bush Survival Bible. And my question is, you write a lot of these, and including your nutritional stuff, more of a, I guess you could call it a call to action, because it tells you what you can do and how you can get involved. Is that an actual process that you go through as you're writing this? You try and see the solutions as well as talking about some of these problems and how we can get involved?
Well, you know, I've written 40 books, and I'd like to think that that's pretty much what I write about, whether different subject matters, it's social responsibility, corporate responsibility, or health or politics. But the point of the books is, to help readers figure out where they stand, what they can do, and how to improve themselves. And politics is these days one of those topics because, as I say, if we all don't participate in a functioning democracy, then it really doesn't matter how healthy you are or how much money you have if there's no country.